Name something that gets passed around.
A joint.
A joint.
Legalized marijuana is always a very difficult question.
The time is long overdue for us to remove the federal prohibition on marijuana.
From now on, I smoke weed exclusively with white people.
Well, I'm getting higher next time.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man, the Snoopy Poop Dog.
There's definitely cannabis in there, and it makes sure that I can sleep now.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Don't piss off your old dealer.
Marijuana is not the kind of thing that ought to be legalized.
I know you're not supposed to admit that you smoke pot, I don't drink alcohol.
Let's get out of here. I have some really good weed back at the hotel.
I used to smoke marijuana.
I don't care if an adult wants to smoke marijuana. They shouldn't go to prison for it either.
Welcome back, everybody. Time for Toker Talk Radio here on YouTube. And I'm Radical Russ. Glad to have you here. Also glad to have our regulars in the chat room hanging out. If you'd like to get online and chat with some really interesting people, just find us out at RadicalRust.com. That'll redirect you to the YouTube page, and you can click into that chat room. You have to have a YouTube account to be able to do so. But don't worry, come May 1st, we've got the new podcast coming up, The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville, MJAgenda.com, and I'm going to be putting in one of those IRC chats, so you can have a regular old chat account. We can do all the old stuff we used to do, all the fun stuff. So that's coming up May 1st. Also, a quick note from the chat room, John Thomas commenting on the previous rant says, Cinco de Mayo was first promoted by Ed McMahon on the Johnny Carson Tonight Show to advertise salsa. Well, that's interesting. I did not know that. It sounds reasonable. I mean, Ed McMahon creating a holiday to enable drinking? Who'd have thunk that? You know, I got some of those old TV channels that come in through the cable, like the MeTV, GetTV, RetroTV, Antenna TV, all that. It's really awesome watching some of these old TV shows from the 70s. The other day I'm flipping through channels and there was the Cher show. You remember there used to be a Sonny and Cher show. And then in 1975, Sonny and Cher broke up. And so Cher had a pilot to do a show all on her own, right? So I'm flipping through the channels last night and I happen upon this channel, and there's Cher and Bette Midler and Elton John doing a musical number. It was remarkable. Like, wow. And Bette Midler in her prime. Oh, my goodness. Looking good, Bette. Really cool stuff. Anyway, I had a comment about this Iowa bill. This sailed through the Senate in Iowa. It was 45-5 that it went through the Senate. 45-5, but they're saying it's not going to make it through the House there because the House is a little more uptight. So the bill is yet another bill where smoking medical marijuana would not be allowed, nor would people be allowed to buy plant material that can be taken home and smoked. So once again, we have another legislature moving forward on medical marijuana, but it ain't really medical marijuana because you know my stand on this. If I can't have marijuana in my hand, marijuana defined as the smoked, dried flowering tops of cannabis plants, usually female. Well, of course they're female. Rewind. Let's start this over. Marijuana defined as the dried flowering tops of female cannabis plants, usually seedless, prepared for smoking or vaporization. That is what marijuana is. The stuff we smoke. If I can't have that in my hand, it ain't a medical marijuana state. They're setting up a bill in Iowa where someone who's a patient would have to go to a building, deal with a professional who gets them an extract of a certain set of compounds in a barcoded bottle that's been marked up for pharmaceutical profit, and then taken home and used. How is that any different than any other pharmaceutical product? Aside from, you know, lack of side effects and it won't kill you and it's not addictive. But other than that, what is the difference? The miracle of medical marijuana is I don't have to go to the pharmacy. I don't have to deal with a doctor. I don't have to deal with a pharmacist. I don't have to have a permission from a king, a court, a cleric, or anybody. I can grow my own houseplant, smoke the top of it, and heal myself. If I can't do that, it's not medical marijuana. It's pharmaceuticalized cannabinoids. So this is the latest one, folks. Every single one since 2010, every medical marijuana law since 2010, whether passed by legislature or passed by an initiative, not one of them has allowed every patient to home grow. And all of the legislative ones have not allowed people to have actual smoked marijuana, smokable marijuana in their hands. Which is fine. Let's help as many people as we can. Let's get past through the legislatures what we can. Sure, that's fine. I'm all for baby steps. I'm all for incrementalization. But I'm telling you folks out there, if you want, if you think medical marijuana is access to a whole plant cannabis that you can grow and treat yourself with, then you need to get on board the legalization train, because the medical marijuana train ain't going to take you there. The medical marijuana train is going to lead you right to Sativex, right to Epidiolex, right to Insys Therapeutics's whatever the hell they called it, Syndros or whatever. That's where medical marijuana leads now. Now, originally, medical marijuana led toward legalization. The first few states that passed it up until 2008, it was leading to legalization. But now, pharmaceutical industry and lobbyists and lawmakers and law enforcement and all of that have moved the path to medical straight to the pharmaceutical industry. Mark my words.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
In the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Russ Belville Show presents the anti-drug public service announcement of the day.
Hey, you ever thought about taking drugs?
I don't know. Well, I never really thought about it.
Think hard. The first hit's free, but you find me when you need more. The choice is yours.
What do you think?
Nah, this drug's not worth the time.
A message from Concerned Children's Advertisers.
This has been the Russ Belville Show's anti-drug public service announcement of the day, exclusively on RadicalRuss.com.
Coming on Monday, May 1st, 2017, a new daily podcast dedicated to the expanding world of medical cannabis, adult marijuana, industrial hemp, and spiritual ganja. Featuring leaders and experts from the worlds of activism, business, research, and entertainment. It's the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville, premiering May 1st on MJAgenda.com. Learn more at MJAgenda.com. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show.
I don't drink, I don't smoke pot, but I drink and I smoke pot. And I will tell you that there is a huge difference between marijuana and alcohol.
You can find Radical Russ online everywhere. Warning, hits taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals. Or at least they aim you to say that.
I smelled some marijuana smoke in Vietnam!
A public service message from The Russ Belville Show.
Most of us pirates, we go on vacation to North Dakota, you know, because they've got a town called Argusville. What are you smoking there, boy?
This is Dan Michaels from danmichaelsaudio.com, and you're listening to Radical Russ on CannabisRadio.com.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It's just about 9:30 after the hour, and there was an interesting story that we covered today coming out of Colorado, where the officials there are freaked out. They are just absolutely freaked out because there are fewer marijuana DUIs in the state. I know what? Did I get that right? Yeah. There are fewer marijuana DUIs in the state of Colorado. And that has the officials in Colorado worried because, according to their studies, they've done some surveys of Coloradoans, and they found that over half of the people who smoke pot say that there's no problem with smoking and driving within a couple hours of smoking pot. The spokesperson for the Colorado State Patrol, Nate Reed, said, quote, "Are the citations going down? Yeah. But is the number of people using marijuana and then driving going down? I don't know." Okay, so let's just unpack this a little bit. Let's wrap our brains around the cognitive dissonance going on here at CDOT and the Colorado State Patrol, because the facts are, in the first quarter of 2017, there were 33.2% fewer DUI citations for marijuana than the year before, that for that same period, first quarter. A drop of a third. So you have a third fewer DUI citations, but what they're worried about is the survey by CDOT that said 55% of marijuana users believe it's safe to drive under the influence. The spokesperson there from Colorado Department of Transportation, Sam Cole, said, quote, "There's a lot of troubling information we've collected, and many marijuana users indicate they drive high and they don't think it's a danger," end quote. Within the last 30 days, 50% of marijuana users say they have driven high. Okay, so more than half of the Colorado pot smokers think it's no big deal to smoke pot and drive, and half of them say they've done so. Yet, they went from 232 marijuana DUIs last year to 155 marijuana DUIs this year. They also went down from 69 combined alcohol marijuana DUIs to 50 combined marijuana DUIs, marijuana alcohol DUIs. Okay, so people are driving high. They say it's okay to drive high, and yet the cops are issuing a third fewer citations. What could that mean? A, it could mean the cops aren't catching them. B, it could mean fewer people are actually driving stoned. Which of the two could it be, right? Because if it's A, the cops aren't catching them, the question then becomes, what's the problem then? What's the problem then if they're driving well enough that you've got no reason to pull them over and suspect them of DUI? Why are we concerned? Because they say they drive high, they say they use it. Could it be they're right? Could it be that they're right, that they develop a tolerance, that it's really no big deal, that they know they're not a risk on the roads? And this is confirmed by CDOT's, or CSP, Colorado State Patrol, Nate Reed, who went on to say, quote, "We've been arresting for marijuana for a long time. There's no sure sign somebody is impaired by alcohol or drugs. It's the trooper's personal contact after a stop, along with their driving behavior. Troopers have been trained in advance for detecting alcohol and marijuana and other prescription drugs," end quote. Okay, so you're telling me that before legalization, cops were busting people for marijuana DUIs. We've been arresting for marijuana for a long time. There's no sure sign, but troopers are trained. So there's no, we haven't had a sudden influx of untrained troopers leading to the one-third decline, have we? No. The troopers are still as trained as they were the year before when they were busting a lot of people for cannabis DUI. Could it be that when the state of Colorado went forth with their Drive High, Get a DUI campaign, when they started educating people that, yeah, you could get a DUI for marijuana, maybe some of them didn't drive high? Maybe the highest ones, the ones, the other half that say they don't drive high, that other half that lack the tolerance, maybe they decided after being educated in a public service campaign, maybe they decided not to drive, and perhaps that's leading to that one-third decrease. The people who were driving high were driving high before and are presumably driving high now. If they're not a problem, if you don't see them exhibiting any sort of terrible roadway behavior that leads you to believe they're driving impaired, what's the problem? Well, here's what the problem is. these people have this attitude, this idea. What they're going off of is not absolute driving ability. What they're going off of is relative driving ability. Let me explain this. I've talked about this a few times on the show, but maybe some of you are new. What the cops are worried about in this story is we have these stories, these studies that tell us that people smoke pot and then get behind the wheel and drive. That's what worries them, that people are getting behind the wheel and driving. Not that they've been proven to be a problem, not that they're currently a problem, and not that that's leading to a whole bunch of DUIs, because all three of those things have been demonstrated false. With the fewer fatalities, the less DUI citations, and the same amount of cops and laws and incentive to want to bust people, those things didn't change. We've shown them now that there's the other side of that argument. The worry about the danger is there's nothing there. So the fact that they're worried that people are getting high and getting behind the wheel, absent any evidence that's a problem, shows you what they're really worried about. And that is, they're worried about relative versus absolute when it comes to your driving ability. To them, the fact that you smoked some pot and then got behind the wheel shows that you didn't get behind the wheel at 100% of your capacity. That you impaired yourself, even if it's a tiny little imperceptible, makes no difference in the statistics degree. You irresponsibly impaired yourself before getting behind the wheel. And that's what they've got the issue with. It's really, they have an issue with stoners driving. It's bigotry, really. It's bigotry because you cannot prove that there's any problem with us driving. In fact, the studies that have accounted for gender and for age have proven time and again, there is no increase in crash risk, nothing statistically significant between drivers impaired on marijuana versus those who are sober. So when you have a discrimination against a certain class of people not based on fact, that's the textbook definition of bigotry. So it's really just a case of bigotry. They just don't like the fact that we stoners are driving. And it really bugs them that we can drive well, because that confounds them. Wait a minute, you did something that makes you impaired, and yet somehow we can't figure out how to bust you. That really freaks them out. They don't like that. I often make this comparison. I say, imagine like our driving ability is being graded, okay, with your typical letter grades, A, B, C, D, F, okay, and that to drive, you need to get a C. You got to get a C on the test, and then we'll let you drive. You're satisfactory as a driver. It'd be great if you were a B or an A, but a C will take. So let's say there's a... Let's call her Granny Glaucoma. Granny Glaucoma is 4'10", can barely see over the steering wheel. She's 80 years old, has limited eyesight, and is one of the shittiest drivers you could ever imagine. But she gets a C. She does just barely match the satisfactory level of driving. Her abilities put her at a level C. Now let's say I'm a level A. Let's say I'm an awesome driver. I'm a great driver. I'm an A, okay? So I can drive too. Both me and Granny can drive, right? But if I smoke a joint and drive, perhaps that takes me down from an A to an A minus. Maybe just one percentage point, just a little, just past A down into A minus, just a little. I'm still an awesome driver. I'm still a far better driver than Glaucoma Granny is. She's still a C and I'm just an A minus. But to them, to the CDOT people, to the straights, to the law enforcement, I'm the criminal because I purposefully impaired myself. I went down from an A to an A minus and got behind the wheel. That's what freaks them out. Not the fact that Granny Glaucoma's out there to see and we let her drive around. Not the fact that I'm a better driver than Granny Glaucoma, even when I'm stoned out of my head. That's not what concerns them. It's the relative impairment that freaks them out. To them, it's irresponsibility they're wanting to bust us for. I keep fighting for this absolute impairment. I could give a damn what you're on. If you can pass the test, you're fine to drive. That's my concern. Let's grade our absolute level of driving ability, not our relative impairment.
What is the main food that penguins eat?
Spam?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's not spam. Hey, real quick, on 420, letting you know the Colorado Department of Transportation has put out some mile 420 markers. Remember when they replaced them with 419.99 because everyone was stealing them? Well, now they've got 420 markers all over the place, and if you pick one up, you can get a discount on Lyft, the ride-sharing system. Good on you, Lyft. Happy 420, everyone. Let's take a sesh.
Get your tickets now for the Oregon Marijuana Business Conference, happening one day only in Eugene, Oregon on Friday, April 28th. You'll learn all about the latest OLCC regulations for adult use cannabis, including testing requirements, tech and branding, taxes and distribution, and the latest developments in medical marijuana regulations. OMBC features networking with Oregon's leading experts in marijuana, including State Senator Floyd Prezansky. You'll also get to hear from author, actor, and punk rock icon Henry Rollins delivering the keynote address. Early bird pricing is available for conference only and VIP passes, which gets you access to the VIP networking events featuring Henry Rollins and other speakers. It's the 2017 Oregon Marijuana Business Conference. Tickets available now at OregonMBC.com. That's OregonMBC.com before April 14th to get your early bird pricing. OregonMBC.com.
You're listening to the Russ Belville Show.
Americans are sick and tired of the cost of the war on drugs.
You can find Radical Russ online everywhere. Warning, hits taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals. Or at least they pay me to say that.
Oh, I could have smoked that pot.
A public service message from the Russ Belville Show. Emblyblashen Gergen, Fuffender Blasen, Schnurb Norbin. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. And to continue on in this segment, we're taking a look at some data. This came out in this poll yesterday, Yahoo News and Marist College, entitled Weed in the American Family. Well, we covered some of the data on this yesterday, but Tom Angel out there at Massroots.com has really dug into this poll and come up with a lot of new numbers that we didn't talk about yesterday, and I thought it's definitely something we should cover. The piece is entitled, Poll, Most Americans Don't Care Who Uses Marijuana, and all sorts of great information here. First of all, the vast majority of Americans, 74%, say it makes no difference whether their favorite celebrity uses marijuana. Makes no difference to them if they're athlete, celebrity, musician. Once they smoke pot, they're not going to stop buying their music or going to their movies or whatever. 56% of the American people now think marijuana use is socially acceptable. Socially acceptable to consume marijuana. It's all right. It's no longer a taboo amongst the majority. 68% don't care if athletes use marijuana for personal use, and 69% support sports players using cannabis to treat injuries. So to the NFL and to the NBA and these other sports leagues that continue to test athletes for cannabis use, for whom are you doing this? It's not the fans. More than two-thirds of them, don't care and actually support those athletes using cannabis. Of course, that's probably not two-thirds of the corporate people like Budweiser and Miller and Coors and Pfizer and GlaxoSmithKline and all the rest that advertise on the NFL every year. But at least more than two-thirds of the actual people care about that. More than half, 52%. Said it would make no difference if they found out a cleric or religious leader used marijuana. They found out that the reverend, the preacher, the priest, the pastor, the pope, Doesn't matter. They don't care if that person uses pot. For some reason, a slim majority of Americans don't care if religious people use a plant their creator made and said in the first page of the book to use. So, hey, what do you know? There's progress. 55% don't even care if their kid's teacher uses marijuana in their personal life. Obviously not in class, but in their personal life, they don't care if the teacher smokes pot. Hell, these days, if a teacher's busted with pot, I mean, that's almost guaranteed they're going to lose their job. And more than half of the parents of the kids they're teaching don't care. Here's some other stats from this that I think are interesting. 52% told the pollsters that they have tried marijuana. And this is significant, folks. When I first started in this, when I started about 10 years ago on the national stage doing activism, one of my stock lines in my speech was, and if you meet someone under the age of 50, flip a coin. Heads, they've smoked pot. Tails, they know somebody who has. Well, now I don't even have to use the qualifier, meet someone under 50. Now it's the entire age range, because people over the age of 50 have been the fastest growing demographic for new initiation of cannabis, or return initiation of cannabis if they were off it, you know, since their teenage or college years. 52% of all Americans. You meet somebody today, point to any random person on the street, flip a coin. Heads, they've smoked pot. Tails, they know somebody who has. 41% of the people in the survey consume cannabis with friends or people outside their families. That's their preference. While 31% prefer to get high alone. And that's interesting to me, because we often talk about cannabis being a social drug, marijuana smoking in a circle, you know, and everybody's sesh, you know, we all get together. But there are almost a third of cannabis consumers who just like to smoke pot by themselves. There's 60% of parents who consume cannabis say their children are aware of their use. And 54% have spoken directly to their kids about it. 47% say they've shared marijuana with their adult kids or used it in front of them. And by the way, Daily Mail, I think it was, out in the UK, came out with an alarmist headline today that said, what the hell is happening to parenting? Half of parents say they smoke pot in front of their kids, leaving out the important context that they're talking about their adult kids. Smoking in front of their adult kids. Big difference. But yeah, 60% of parents say their kids know they smoke pot. And that's good. It should be a higher number. 100% of the parents who smoke cannabis should be honest with their kids that they do. For one, you don't want the kid talking about the funny smells or what he saw or anything weird that to the kid would be just an innocent conversation, but to some school resource officer who overhears it, or a teacher who overhears it, could be reason enough to send CPS over to see what's going on. Be honest with your kids so they know what not to say and what we don't talk about, what things are private family matters. And 47%, they've shared marijuana with their adult kids. That's so cool. That is so cool. I'm so envious of people who get to smoke pot with their parents and smoke pot with their kids. I'm really envious of that. I've just had very limited opportunities to consume cannabis with any members of my family. Really, I have two families. I have my genetic family, and then I have my canna family of all the people that I see in the various events and the activists that I work with, that, you know, that's my family. 72% of adults who use marijuana say their parents know about it. So 60% of the parents know, say their kids know about it. 72% of the adults say their parents know. So it's going both directions. According to most people, the most popular place to stash marijuana is in a dresser drawer. That's where people store their weed, is in a dresser drawer. Might I recommend a safe? Maybe lock that shit up, people. What else do we got here? 76% think tobacco is more of a health risk than marijuana. 72% view alcohol as more of a health risk than marijuana. So still about one fourth of the people out there need some education. There's still about a fourth of them that don't really understand what's going on here. By every possible measure, tobacco and alcohol are more harmful than marijuana. Name the measure. That's for me, the sole issue here. Right? Like, you could tell me we were going to ban drugs. If we're going to ban marijuana, we're going to lock people up that use it and grow it. I could accept that if we really were a drug-free society. But the fact that you allow the production, trafficking, sale, promotion, advertisement, use, abuse, and overdose of alcohol. Yes, even overdose is celebrated. There were three damn movies. Very popular. $100 million, $200 million movies about alcohol overdose. They were called Hangover, Part 1, 2, and 3. So we celebrate alcohol overdose to the point where people black out and end up getting in weird escapades with Mike Tyson and Tigers and Ken Jeong and all that. That's all cool. But marijuana's a problem? No. Sorry, can't accept that. So as long as alcohol and tobacco exist, and our opponents get all pissy about that. You're just trying to deflect. You always deflect to alcohol. You deflect. It's not a deflection. It's the damn point. It is the damn point. We accept this massive risk to society, health and well-being, demonstrable risk from alcohol. We know 50,000 people will get hit by cars. We know there will be this many people that will get cirrhosis of the liver. We know this many people will be beaten in domestic abuse because of alcohol. We know it. It's guaranteed. And we accept it because we've said that the freedom for most people, the vast majority of people who drink, to be able to do so in a responsible manner that is of negligible harm to themselves and others outweighs the damage we get from the few that can't handle their liquor. If that equation exists for alcohol, it certainly exists for marijuana, and it exists more in marijuana's favor. When it comes to medicine, 67% see prescription opioids as more risky than medical cannabis. Again, here's another 33%, one-third of Americans who need some education. Prescription opioids are definitely more risky than cannabis. Now, I've been in an email debate with a fellow who disagrees with me on this, who says I'm demonizing drugs and I shouldn't demonize drugs. Look, people can use drugs. I'm for use of all drugs. Use whatever you like. Just handle your high. I'm all fine with that, right? But you cannot tell me that using heroin or cocaine or methamphetamine are less risky than using marijuana. I do believe people can use all those substances, some of them all at once, and be fine. And handle that just fine. That's not my argument. And sometimes I feel like I'm trying to be cornered into this area where I'm saying people can't use drugs responsibly or that drugs cause violence or drugs cause addiction. Not making any of those arguments at all. The argument I'm making is that at the meta level, the broad level, the overall statistical level, given that there will be a non-zero number of people who can't handle their high, given that there will be those people who can't handle their high that exhibit the worst possible outcomes from the use of those drugs, the total amount of damage that will be caused by those who can't handle their weed is going to be less than the total amount of damage handled by those who can't handle their coke, meth, or heroin, or alcohol. Just, I'm afraid it's just fact. And I know Dr. Carl Hart talks about that the people get on opioids at the hospital, they don't become addicts, but people get on heroin, they become addicts. It's a problem of capitalism. It's a problem with homelessness. It's a problem with problems with mental illnesses. These are just those are the causes. The drug use is the symptom. I'm with you. I'm totally with you. But on a pharmacological basis, heroin is more dangerous than cannabis, period. All right, let me go on. 19 and a half years old is the average age at which Americans think people are old enough to begin consuming cannabis. 83% support legalizing medical cannabis. 49% are for recreational legalization. 47% oppose. 11% of regular marijuana users don't support legalization. There's your stoners against legalization. 1 out of 9 of us are stoners against legalization. They could be dealers, could be growers, could be the treat it like tomato people, the tilters. As long as any person is thrown in prison, we can't vote for any positive reform. You know, those kind. 65% think the Trump administration should continue the Obama-era policy of respecting state marijuana laws or loosen up even further. Only 30% want to see any sort of crackdown. 52% would approve of their bank investing in the marijuana industry, more than half. 51% would support their retirement fund investing in the cannabis industry, more than half. Fascinating stuff, folks. In every measure of public opinion you could possibly think of, majorities support marijuana legalization, except in the U.S. Congress and the corporate boardrooms.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
You know Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs, we've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com. And follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter.
You're listening to the Russ Belville Show.
Half of what we spend on law enforcement, half what we spend on the courts, and half of what we spend on the prisons is drug-related. And to what end?
You can find Radical Russ online everywhere. Warning. Hits taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals. Or at least they aim you to say that.
Yeah, baby! Yeah.
A public service message from the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation, only on CannabisRadio.com.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It's 37 after the hour, and earlier I was talking about this poll, the Yahoo News Marist University poll. But there's another bit of data that's making its way into the mainstream this 420 week. This came out of the New York Post that says the new cannabis consumer is not your father's stoner. Say goodbye to the loner stoner is the title of the article. And this was a survey of 800 regular cannabis users by the New York consultancy Minor and Company Studio. So talk to 800 randomly selected regular cannabis users, and here's what they found. 84% of us are employed full-time. 84% employed full-time. Yes. Absolutely. 65% have a household income that is greater than $75,000 a year. Wow, I need to get myself into that group. That'd be nice. 63% are married or living with a significant other. Ooh. So, so it's not your typical stoner, according to this report. Robert Miner, whose firm did the research, said the loner-stoner stereotype is obsolete. Today's pot smoker is a discerning shopper. The consistency of a high is very or somewhat important to 96% of the consumers in choosing their cannabis brand, as is quality of the brand's flavor to another 96%. Who knew we liked quality? How nice is that? Yeah. But this is something we all know, and it's something that's really shocking again to the mainstream, because for so long they've built up this idea of what we are, what stoners are, what hippies are, and the idea has been based off an iceberg of representation, where above the waterline, just like an iceberg, only 10% of the iceberg is above the waterline, right? So the 10% that's above the waterline for us are the long hairs and the hippies and the freaks and the libertarians and the free-minded people and the liberals and the artists and the musicians and the actors and, the people who can get away with it, or the people who don't have to worry about getting away with it. The people who could be out and proud. Whereas the people who were the, suit and tie, white collar workers, the blue collar workers, the construction workers, all these people that are just the normal everyday fabric of America, that they're under that waterline. They're the 90% in the iceberg down there that nobody ever saw, nobody ever sees. And there's just a striking parallel with the gay rights movement too, where in the gay rights movement, it was the most flamboyant people in the movement that were at the forefront of pushing for their rights. And it was the suit and tie, corporate, respectable, in the closet gay folks who were hanging back until it was safe to come out. It's always the rebels and the freaks and the iconoclasts that are the first ones out of the gate to try to change these things, because they're the ones most impacted by the prohibitions, by the prejudices, by the stereotypes. When the group of rednecks goes out to beat up the gay guy for fun that night, they're not picking the guy in the suit and tie who looks like a, 50-year-old, middle-aged, banker, who's just as gay as the 22-year-old twink down there in the Rainbow District that they go find and beat up. So the 50-year-old guy, maybe he's not as concerned. Maybe it's not a big issue to him because he can pass, because he's getting away with it, because he's not a target. But for the 22-year-old guy who's getting beaten, it becomes a big issue. Well, the same thing happens in the cannabis community. It's the people who were the growers who got busted, the consumers, the dealers who got busted. They join the community, they get involved, and oftentimes they got tattoos and long hair and hippie ideals. It's also the people who got sick. People who got sick, who are oftentimes, lesser means, or are looked down on by people, are kind of shunned sometimes. And it's the iconoclasts. It's the libertarians. It's the free thinkers, the people who cannot, in their soul, reconcile the idea of freedom with the idea of prohibition. And so that becomes the basis from which the mainstream forms their views and opinions of what gay people are like, or what stoners are like. And it freaks them out. They're like, oh my God, if we give these people rights, the next thing you know, there's going to be rainbow flags everywhere, and there's going to be guys making out all over the place on the park benches, and there's going to be just awful, terrible, results. Or in the case of the weed, oh my God, there's going to be green pot leaves everywhere and stoned people smoking everywhere you see, and there's going to be wrecks and there's going to be problems. It's going to be an issue. So what, turned the tide in the gay rights movement was when the people under the waterline, the iceberg folks, started moving up above the waterline. When they started coming out of the closet and showing, no, wait a minute, your preconceived notions are wrong. Yes, there are flamboyant gay people, drag queens and leather gods and bears and all sorts of stuff. But that's the flamboyant ones. You're not seeing the big mass of just regular, average, everyday gay folks. They're just as dull and uninteresting as anybody else. And likewise in the marijuana community. The more people like me and Ties come out, the more people like in this survey, this poll that are coming out, that are now significantly in the majority, the more these attitudes change. And it's a self-feeding mechanism, right? The more people come out of the closet, the more the mainstream's mind changes. The more the mainstream minds change, the more people come out of the closet that are mainstream. The more of them that come out of the closet, the more the mainstream's mind changes, and so forth. You get this cycle. It feeds itself. So we are coming a long way in this, and it's just a matter of time at this point. Like, we've won the battle. It's just a matter of how quickly can we get the surrender paper signed. We're in that end of World War II phase, right? Where it's just a matter of tracking down Hitler to the bunker and dropping the bomb on Japan, and then we'll see how quick we can get the surrender paper signed. Perhaps a bad analogy. I feel like Sean Spicer right now. But anyway, the point being, it's all over but the shouting right now. We've won this. Now it's just a matter of how quickly we can get it and how broadly it can be expanded in how quick of a time. So that's where the fight lies now, is getting legalization to Iowa and Idaho and Indiana and other states that start with vowels other than Oregon and Alaska. It's just a matter of us expanding the medical marijuana laws we have, making them understand the real fight that's necessary now, which is access to the whole plant. See, we fought so long on the medical side to convince people it was medicine. Now they're like, okay, well, it's medicine. Let's start having our factories crank it out, and let's start having our doctors prescribe it, and let's put it into the little medical pharmaceutical paradigm we're all happy with. No. The big point of legalizing marijuana, the big point of medical marijuana, is that it's a plant that we all should have access to and that nobody should be punished for. Nobody punishes me if I grow nightshade in my backyard or hemlock. These are some really poisonous substances. A kid could come in my backyard and accidentally eat hemlock and die. Nobody's prohibiting me from doing that. In fact, I can grow opium poppies. Did you know that? Did you know that in most states in the United States, you can grow opium poppies? As long as they're decorative, as long as they're just to make, you know, poppies, and you're not scoring the bulbs and collecting the sap that you would then turn into the heroin that we all know and love, right? Just don't do that. You'll be fine. It's funny. It's like back in the Prohibition days when they used to make, this is serious. I was telling some of this the other day, and they had not known this fact. During Prohibition in the 1920s, companies that used to make wine went into the business of making wine bricks, or grape bricks, I should say. And you could buy these bricks of dried grape, right? Dehydrated grape. And on the package, it would say, do not take this brick and add 5 gallons of water and store it in a dark place at a warm temperature for 3 weeks, because then it would ferment and become an illegal alcoholic beverage. It's like, so of course people bought that and were like, yeah, sure, I won't do that, of course, because everybody loves bricks of dried grape. We just eat it on our toast. Sure we do. It's the most ridiculous thing since these water pipes are for tobacco use only. Yes, tobacco use only, along with the tie-dye and the Jerry Garcia stuff all over. These are just for tobacco use, because everyone knows how much the Grateful Dead love tobacco. So, crazy stuff going on, but at least some of these polls are coming out, these surveys are coming out, and they're showing that we're just everyday average people. We're just normal folks. Nothing to be afraid of. Helping that are some celebrities. We got some celebrities that come out, and they bring everybody onto our side. This latest story coming out of Fox News, Melissa Etheridge smokes pot with her kids. Quote, it brings you much closer, end quote. This was part of that Yahoo Weed and the American Family Project. And so she says she's 55. Melissa Etheridge is 55. She says she smokes pot with her children, Bailey, who is 20, and Beckett, who is 18. And she said, quote, I have smoked with my older two. It was funny at first, and then they realized it's a very natural end of the day thing, and it brings you much closer. I'd much rather have a smoke with my grown kids than a drink. Oh, God, no. End quote. She also said her 10-year-old twins know about her marijuana use, saying, quote, my children have a very clear understanding of cannabis. When I hold it without shame or confusion, then they can understand it is as simple as if I was pointing to a bottle of Percocet and said, that's mama's medicine. You take the naughtiness out of it, and it's not something that kids run to. And of course, Melissa Etheridge also talks about lighting up with her wife, saying, quote, Cannabis is the best marital aid. When it's date night, it takes down your inhibition. Your sexual desires are enhanced. We take a bath every night and smoke and talk and wind down and sleep a very, very good night's sleep. And sleep is extremely important. End quote. Thank you, Melissa Etheridge, for standing up and being honest about being a mom who uses pot. That's one of the tough things is for moms, you know, more so than dads. Moms get that stigma if they smoke marijuana, that they're somehow a bad parent. They're setting a bad example. Well, it's just not true. And if you're interested in that angle in the fight against adult marijuana prohibition, I'd encourage you to check out the group Moms for Marijuana. You can find them on Facebook. I think they still have a website, but it may be just Facebook at this point. But Moms for Marijuana, one of the leading groups in fighting for parental rights and battling against the abuses of Child Protective Services, who often take kids away and put them into dangerous foster situations just because the parents are marijuana smokers. It's a terrible case of Alexandra Hall. I may be wrong on the last name. Young girl in Texas who died in foster care just because her mom was busted smoking weed. All right, we'll wind things up when we return.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, firedublawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your fired up lawyer, or email firedublawyer@gmail.com.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show.
We can do a lot of privatizations and private prisons. It seems to work a lot better.
Okay. Maybe you're high, too. Warning. Hits taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals. Or at least they pay me to say that.
Yes, I cannabis!
A public service message from the Russ Belville Show. I have a package here for Radical Rick. Is there a Radical Rick here? How about a Rick Russ? Any Rick Russ? Somebody named Freddie Barack has sent him a package. Anybody? What is that? Sounds like a skunk. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation, only on CannabisRadio.com.
All right, welcome back, everybody. As we wind things up today, a reminder, this is the last show for this 420 week because I'm on my way to Atlanta. Kevin Sabet is holding a Project Sam National Conference in Atlanta, so I thought I ought to be there. I'm staying through the weekend. Apparently, there's a couple of other events I'm speaking at. I don't have the full itinerary on me, or I'd tell you. But we're gearing up in Georgia to try to make some differences. So if you're in the Atlanta area this weekend, let me know through Twitter, at Radical Russ. Maybe we can hook up somehow, hang out, smoke, be a good time. So looking forward to it. See y'all in Atlanta. And I'll be back with the last week of the Russ Belville Show. On Monday, the 24th, we'll be on for 4 days, Monday through Thursday. I've got a gig on Friday in Eugene. Last 4 days of the Russ Belville Show. But do not fret, because it's going to continue. We're just going doing a reboot, if you will. The new show title starting on May 1st is going to be The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville. And you'll find it at MJAgenda.com. So go ahead and bookmark that right now, MJAgenda.com, as well as the online MJ Agenda on Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, SoundCloud, all that kind of stuff, except YouTube. I'm messing it up. Except Twitter. On Twitter, it's MJ Agenda Show, because and this is true, honest to God, MJ Agenda was already taken by a guy named Mustafa Jagenda. That's right. Mustafa Jagenda, M. Jagenda, took my MJ Agenda on Twitter. So it's MJ Agenda Show on Twitter. Now, as far as those of you watching and listening on YouTube, you don't got to change nothing. You click on RadicalRust.com, you'll be right here. I'm still going to record the show by streaming it through YouTube because I've got this studio software that allows me to do the stream and the recording at the same time. Saves a lot of hassle, right? So it'll still be, if you're listening to me now, right now, just do the same thing starting Monday, May 1st, you'll get me. But if you're a podcast listener, you're going to have a lot more options now because it's not only going to be iTunes and TuneIn and iHeartRadio, but it'll also be distributed through the Libsyn network, the same network that distributes Joe Rogan and Adam Carolla and Mark Maron and all the top podcasters. And that means there should be a more regular posting of my show because I upload my show every night by 6 p.m. Pacific time. So you will have a fresh Russ Belville show. See, it's going to take me a while to fix it too. You will have a fresh Marijuana Agenda show every day at by 6 p.m. Pacific. So that's just some of the changes. Now, as far as the format goes, format's the same pretty much. First hour has always been my, you know, kind of more serious hour, let's say, the news hour, whatever you want to call it. We're still going to open with news headlines. We're still going to do interview segments. It's just there's going to be more of them. There's going to be more regular interview segments. Like, you know how we do Police for Reform with Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, or we do Cannabis Q&A with Dr. Mitch Earlywine? There's going to be more of those, more regular segments with SSDP, Marijuana Policy Project, MAPS, the Multidisciplinary Association for Psychedelic Studies, Moms for Marijuana, Celeb Stoner, Freedom Leaf, Gridiron Cannabis Coalition, Marijuana Majority, Marijuana Moment Newsletter, Gridiron, did I say Gridiron Cannabis Coalition already? But we got a ton of them. Veterans for Cannabis, we got that coming too. So we're going to have more of these recurring segments, and the recurring segments are more likely to be pre-recorded. Part of the issue that's been plaguing me over the past couple of years is my live interview time, which some people can't make that live interview time, and other people are leery of doing it live because they get a little scared. So we should have more regular guests and more variety of guests coming up in the future starting May 1st. So that's the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville. This hour, though, Toker Talk Radio is going to continue just like it's always been. Toker Talk Radio, phone line 650-LEGAL-MJ, bring up the stories, and I just, you know, riff on them. You know, not pre-scripted, just riffing on the stories like we always do. So for those of you longtime listeners, regulars out there in the chat room, fear not. It's not a major change happening as far as how you understand the show and how you get the show. It's going to be pretty much the same as what you're always used to. The difference will be that with the Marijuana Agenda being the title and taking me out of the front of it, it'll be more focused on the marijuana and less of what I think about it, but more of what other people think about it. Plus, I'm hoping it gets a little more search engine optimization, having the word marijuana in there. More people searching for marijuana podcasts are likely to find it that way. And it's also helping me to, you know, get more regular content as people understand more that the show is about the marijuana industry, the marijuana movement. And the main goal of the show is to try to bring us together as one unified movement. I'm talking about medical cannabis, adult marijuana, industrial hemp, and spiritual ganja. We don't have the luxury of dividing into camps anymore. In this last push to get legalization over the hump during the Trump administration, we've all got to band together to free the plant for all of us. And specifically, again, for those of us stoners. It's only because they're trying to keep the stoners from getting high that they have all the restrictions on medical, hemp, and religion. Folks, that's all the time I got for this week. Have yourselves a happy 420. I'll be in Atlanta trolling Kevin Sabet, and we'll send you some pictures online. For everyone here at Delta 9, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, take care of each other, tokers!
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. RussBellville.com.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.